Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
All right, folks, it's another episode of America's Hometown Horror, and I am excited to say that for the first time since we have started doing the show, we have a new advertiser. That advertiser is Fanatics. Fanatics is the world's largest collection of official fan gear from all the leagues, teams, and players you love. If you enjoy America's Hometown Horror and are looking to buy a new jersey, sweatshirt, or hat, you can support us by going to podgo.co/fanatics and get 25% off your next order. That's podgo.co/fanatics. Fanatics, officially licensed everything. Thank you to Fanatics for sponsoring our show. What do you think of that?
Thanks,
I think of a song, and it's, I feel like we made it, like, to a certain extent. It's not the biggest deal,
Is that a Shania Twain song?
Looks like we made it. That's not a Shania Twain song, is it?
Looks like we made it. Yeah.
We've come now, baby. Might have took a long way. We knew we'd get this someday.
All right, now, this is how, this is,
I don't know all the words.
That's how you do an ad read right there, folks. That is how you do an ad read. But I would be remiss if I did not say a big thank you to Shine Through Window Cleaning for sponsoring the first year of our show. So thanks again to Shine Through, and go to Fanatics and get 25% off.
When you guys are big and rich and famous, just don't forget Shine Through.
And away we go. What is up? What is up? What is going on, folks? My name is Mike, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of America's Hometown Horror. America's Hometown Horror. Happy to have you back. And as always, I am joined by my esteemed co-hosts, Kat. What's up? Good to have you as always. And back for the first time in a few weeks, Mr. Andrew. What's going on, pal?
Jeez, how many episodes did I miss?
Two, I think.
What two did you do while I was
We did What We Do in the Shadows, and
just one.
Just the What We Do in the Shadows, yeah, because you were on the set.
Like I've been gone for years.
No, I forgot that we recorded.
To be fair, recorded them close together, and then we took a week off, and then we recorded one, and then now you're back. So it's been 2 weeks.
Kind of reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where Jerry's talking to George about Elaine's replacement, that he's got one lined up. And George is like, glad you don't have a replacement for me.
Right.
So quickly, he's like, oh no, we do.
Well, you weren't replaced, you were just not here.
It was well, now I feel like Mike, that's double pressure to bring it. Yeah. Gotta bring it, especially we got the new ad read. Shit is real. Gotta bring it.
Yeah, so what's been going on? What's been going on since the last time we talked to you on the show?
We went to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, how was that?
Was fun.
Yes. And quarantined after.
No, it was a good time. I mean, golfed, drank. Instead of one bar.
Bars are open.
Yeah. Got yelled at by someone. It's fine, though.
Whatever. How were the golf courses?
Soggy. They had got a lot of rain before, and we were in it's like a wetland. It's like below sea level, so everything was a swamp.
Did you play at a Jack Nicholson course?
Jack Nicholas?
What?
Nicholson's the actor. Jack Nicholas is the golfer.
Shit. Sorry.
Everyone always confuses them. It's okay.
Right. I mean, we didn't. It was windy. I mean, and it was warm. But it was like high 40s, low 50s, so it wasn't that much better. But golfing in January for a week, somewhere different, it was still great.
Absolutely.
Can't beat that. I mean, what else could you really ask for?
Not much. I had some Bojangles.
Yeah. Oh, I love Bojangles.
Which is really good.
Cat loves
if
Bojangles.
If they ever want to do an ad read, I would endorse the shit
Bojangles,
out of their fried chicken.
I would buy a franchise up here and own
Dude,
it
please.
Myself.
Because all the guys, Popeyes, and people go, well, there's
Bojangles.
Chick-fil-A.
No.
But Chick-fil-A doesn't have fried chicken.
No.
They have...
Well, they have chicken tenders and
Bojangles
nuggets.
Yeah, they don't
stuff.
Have bone-in
chicken
fried
and
chicken.
Biscuits.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what
their
it is.
Their biscuits were phenomenal. And those were probably the best biscuits I've had at a fast food joint. Ever.
Yeah.
Did you have the
Bojangles
dirty rice?
Legit.
Their dirty rice is
dirty rice.
Oh, I had their mashed potatoes with the brown gravy.
No.
I mean, what am I not
You
a
should have their dirty rice, their mashed potatoes, their chicken, and their gravy. You should have every like a little bit of everything because
well,
it's amazing. Bojangles
next
is
time
my
I'm
favorite.
South of
food
Pennsylvania,
chain.
I'll go to Bojangles.
Yes, because that was the first one we found was in Virginia, right?
Yeah, we were driving down.
They don't have any there's none north
no.
of Pennsylvania, I don't
know.
I think it's
not.
Only a matter of time before it comes up here.
But I
hope
so.
So. I hope so.
I mean, there's plenty of places in Colony Place that need a fried chicken joint. So.
Yeah, I know. Well, speaking of fried chicken, so you mentioned earlier that you had your first Chick-fil-A experience. Your thoughts?
I did. You know,
Chick-fil-A
I wish
reviews.
I got the chicken strips instead of the chicken nuggets, mm-hmm. I'll say. But I did, like, I appreciated the option to have grilled chicken and fried chicken as a woman, which I know not everyone is going to agree with because I am, you know, the only woman here and you guys are going to be
you
like,
don't,
oh,
you,
shut
you,
up.
You do know
no,
that if you go to a fast food restaurant, though, it's not grilled chicken.
I know. I'm just saying. It's a nice option.
It came
option.
With lines on it.
It's a nice option. Also, a nice option is their macaroni and cheese, which
Ooh,
is
yeah.
phenomenal.
It's good. It's very good.
Oh, my gosh. It
Time
was...
out. So you hadn't been to Chick-fil-A?
No,
oh,
never.
I thought it was you.
No.
I got confused because the bag said Mike's name on it.
Well,
so when you said the picture.
Oh, I ordered through the
no,
app.
I thought you meant
you,
and I was like, Mike hasn't had Chick-fil-A?
No, he
had
like
You hadn't had Chick-fil-A?
No, I hadn't had Chick-fil-A.
Did you have a milkshake?
No.
You did not get milkshake.
I still can.
Do you know what the best thing about those places is? They have mouthwash in the bathroom.
Chick-fil-A?
What?
Wow.
The ones down south, they have like, it's like a sanitizer.
Yeah.
Maybe it was sanitizer. I think they have mouthwash.
So you swallowed hand sanitizer?
No. I think some of them down south actually have mouthwash.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't drink any sanitizer.
How did that
I can see, they have like the Southern hospitality thing going on, so I could see that.
Mouthwash.
You know what's better
really
though? Their honey mustard is very good.
I'm a big fan of the Chick-fil-A, so.
I was going to say that
chicken on a biscuit is my favorite breakfast sandwich ever.
Spicy chicken sandwich there is.
You know what was weird that I had there one time though? It was chicken, egg, cheese on a everything bagel.
At a Chick-fil-A?
They have it on their breakfast menu.
Yeah.
It didn't taste good?
It wasn't bad. It was the bagel. The bagel threw it all off. It wasn't a good bagel. It wasn't like a Lender's bagel or like a good Jewish bagel. Which there's nothing wrong with saying that.
No.
The best bagels are Jewish.
Yes.
No, it's just weird eating a chicken on a chicken on...
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
An egg and cheese, it seems... That makes more sense than anything because it's chicken with the unfertilized chicken on top of it and then a piece of cheese.
I don't think I can ever really get behind that.
It was weird. It was different.
I know, but...
A burger
had,
with
like,
an egg is a big
and,
difference between...
Egg
like, it belongs
together.
On a pork product. With the egg.
Like an egg and steak. Like, steak and eggs.
No, yeah,
done,
I know, but it was
like,
weird on chicken. It was very different.
Yeah,
It wasn't
bad. You can take the egg from my burger and throw it right in the fucking trash. I hate
I don't
eggs
really
on
prefer
burgers.
That.
Yeah.
Because I don't like runny eggs.
Yeah.
So I don't want that on anything that's
kind of
runny.
I don't know if I
same
would
position.
Put an egg on a chicken, because I feel like that just
it'd be odd.
It seems
wrong.
Sacrilegious.
It sounds wrong. Right, I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't, yeah. Anyways, so...
Yeah, no, so hey, fast food talk.
So
we do have
I will open a Bojangles someday. That is my mission in life. If it ends up coming up here sometime...
Don't set your goals so high.
No. I want to own a franchise for Bojangles because I want to eat there every day.
Yeah.
Like,
can I be 10% owner just so I can
yes,
eat all the Bojangles?
That's what I want.
Just
I want
all the money
rice.
You make?
Yep, I don't need money. Just, I want
I,
to eat.
Well, I know a rest. Anyways, I won't even go into that because it's
right,
way too much Bojangles.
Bojangles is good. Chick-fil-A is good. Andrew had a good time in Myrtle Beach. And everything's open down there. So thinking of going out golfing and going to a bar afterwards is really making me wish that my dry January experience is going to be over very soon, which it is, thank God, because it's been a little tough from time to time.
It's been quite a dry January.
Yeah, very, very dry.
Kat did a good job, though, right?
Yeah, I did a great job.
Did you last a week?
4 days.
All right, so we can call you out on that.
Well, 4 days after the 3 days, because it started, like, on a Friday or something, and I was like, I'm not starting dry January on a Friday. So I started on the Monday, and then by by Friday, I was like,
even more.
No, I'm definitely not going
to
do.
I wasn't doing that. I wasn't doing that to besmirch you and make you feel bad. I was doing that to prop up Michael.
Oh,
so that we can all take a moment out of our busy schedules to applaud.
Well, thank you. I'd like to thank all the little people I stepped on my way to get here. Yes, of course. It's fun, I guess. But it's almost over, so we're almost done. But anyway, back to horror. So, Andrew, I know it's been a little while since you've been on. I'm sure you've probably watched some scary stuff over the last couple of weeks. You got anything good that you checked out that you want to report on?
Let's see. I watched that documentary on Netflix, Night Stalker.
Oh, yes. Okay. Tell me about that.
I think it was four episodes, maybe. I think it was four episodes.
I definitely
four, like, hour-long episodes, roughly, about a serial killer in Southern California, throughout California.
Mm-hmm.
And they only had, like, throughout the whole show, they only had one piece of evidence, and it was his shoe print.
Mm-hmm.
And it was left at, like, every crime.
Yeah.
Which is so weird to me. Like, how are you going to, like, you find that shoe print everywhere?
Yeah.
Like, on anything. Like, which leads me to believe that you shouldn't wear shoes because they don't have, like, toe prints. So, you know, like, fingerprints? They have fingerprints. You're better off, if you're going to murder someone or go into their house and steal something, don't wear any shoes. I mean, you may give off some DNA.
Just giving murder advice?
Well, that's the way I look at it, is because it's a lot easier to recognize a shoe print because there's only so many shoes. But they don't even have a, they probably don't even have a database on footprints.
No, not at all.
No,
how would they get that?
No, of course not.
That's why we don't know where fucking Sasquatch is. If we had a DNA basis on footprints, we would know that Sasquatch is Sasquatch.
I mean, is everyone's everyone's toes different from, like, everyone's
I believe, I would assume it's the same thing, but no one gives a fuck about toe prints.
True. True.
So that's what I'm saying.
No one has toe prints.
If you're going to go rob a house, don't wear any shoes.
Wait,
or wear booties. Like
why
Mark Wahlberg in The Departed.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
Why wouldn't people care about toe prints just as much as they care about fingerprints?
People don't walk around barefoot most of the time, I guess.
Yeah, how often are you touching things with your toes?
Well, I'm just saying.
You go to someone's house and you murder them and you're like rubbing their nose with your toe.
But would you be more likely if someone said, can I have your like toe print versus your fingerprint? I'd be much more likely to be like, take my toes.
Yes,
well, that's also because
whole,
I get my toes done.
The whole point of this is most people, when they're doing anything, they're wearing sneakers. So your toe print is fucking irrelevant. Are you missing that part of this?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying it's less. You're less likely to get... No, we're leaving that in.
No.
You're less likely to get caught if you take off your shoes because they can figure out where you bought your shoes, who manufactured these shoes, where they came from. Like, they had it all down to a science.
They
had it was, like, in the mid-80s, and they figured out that this one specific type of shoe was sold at some place in Arizona or whatever. That one pair of shoes was sold there, and they still couldn't find them.
Yeah.
But maybe someone was barefoot walking around,
I get that. You're missing the point.
We're on the ground.
Yes, yes. Maybe toe prints were overlooked. So, Night Stalker series, you'd recommend checking out for sure?
I liked it. I thought it was very good.
Yeah. Cool. Nice. I watch a lot of X-Files lately. That's kind of been my my thing while, like, you know, hanging out watching X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
We finished that show, I Am Not Okay With This, on Netflix, Kat. What'd you think of that? Never mind.
Sorry.
Do
we
want
to give her a second chance?
Yes.
Ask her one more time.
I Am Not Okay With This on Netflix.
Okay with what?
Okay. That's absolute gold. You can't take that.
Oh, wait.
That was so good. That was so good.
Oh, wait. The show. I'm sorry.
I gave you a second chance.
Okay.
Nope, you don't get a third chance.
No, I can have another chance. Okay. So, yes, I liked it. It was the girl from It who was in The Thing, and she has the superpowers, and she's with this guy, and the guy's with her for a little bit, and then he disappears and whatever. Yeah, it was cool. I liked it. I would watch another season of it. It was a cool kind of same scenario of it's the end of the fucking world.
Yeah, well, same author.
Exactly.
So similar type show.
Yes.
Yeah, similar themes.
Yeah, it was
not
same...
really horror, but very interesting. Like,
no,
pretty
it was
dark.
Still, it was dark. It was interesting. Because especially it was one of those things where it started with the end, where you see her covered in blood, and then all of a sudden you see the rest of the beginning of the story up until the end when she's covered in blood again. So, I mean, you kind of got that from the beginning, but I would say that It was really fun. It was a good watch. I mean, nice. It was a nice little watch for a binge for one season for a show.
Yeah, like, exactly.
If you're looking for something just to kind of...
Well, and that's all we're going to get to because it got canceled because of production complications due to COVID-19. Hey, so I got a couple news items. I got a couple news items if you guys want to run through them real quick.
I would love to run through those.
Yeah, let's go through the news items.
To start off here... kind of the biggest news that's dropped over the last couple of weeks since we've recorded is that starting February 1st, the new season of American Horror Story is going to be filming in P-Town. They have a permit for pretty much a month to shoot down there. And there's like several locations I guess they're going to shoot at. Starts February 1st, runs through March 6th. Filming locations include the Pilgrim Monument, Commercial Street, the Winthrop Street Cemetery, the West End Breakwater, Old Colony Path, and Race Point Beach.
Race Point Beach?
Yeah.
So, for serious, can we go?
I'm going to go check it out one of these
days. No, like, for serious, can we...
We should go check it out.
That as a
day trip.
We need to stay at the John Carver Inn, though, too.
Okay, we're not talking about that right now.
That's right there. But it's much easier.
No, the John Carver Inn's in Plymouth. We're talking about P-Town.
I know, I'm saying P-Town? What's easier for us to do.
But American Horror Story isn't filming at the John Carver Inn.
No, but there's horror-related elements.
Yes,
of course. We go to P-Town.
Okay, so we'll make a trip down to P-Town, but it's pretty cool filming in P-Town.
That is very cool. That's a good tie-in, too, with one of the actresses in the movie we're discussing.
Yes, and actually, so I forgot to mention, too, the rumored title for this new season that they're filming in P-Town is American Horror Story Pilgrim.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do with that. Some have said that it might be a tie-in to the Roanoke season, like that type of thing, which wasn't really my favorite season, but could be interesting to see what they do with it. So, yeah.
Roanoke reminds me of
Storm of the Century?
Yeah. Thank you.
So American Horror Story filming in P-Town. I'm thinking that we're probably going to make a trip down there and try and see if we can spot some people.
See if we can get on as extras.
Yeah, maybe.
No, for serious. And we should even maybe...
These pretzels are making me thirsty. Thirsty.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so American Horror Story Season 10, potentially titled Pilgrim, filming in P-Town. So maybe more on that to come from us. I guess we'll have to see. Next news item. We're not even really... I guess some speculation that's been out there that I thought was kind of relevant. But... So, a little sequel talk to a couple movies that are pretty good and haven't had any sequels made yet. So, Micah Monroe, I think that's how you pronounce her name, the lead actress that was in It Follows, recently said that she would like to return for more It Follows movies. In addition to that, the director of Donnie Darko has said that he's done significant work on a sequel to Donnie Darko. And there may be a sequel on the horizon for that. So it sounds like of the two, Donnie Darko might be getting one sooner than It Follows. But I ask you both, would you like to see a sequel to It Follows or Donnie Darko or both?
Absolutely, both.
Both?
Yes. Yep.
Donnie Darko, if Jake Gyllenhaal's back. Because he was so good. He's such a good actor.
I mean, I wouldn't want another
and,
Donnie
Darko. It Follows, you say. I'm pretty sure that I already came up with a sequel to that.
Yeah. That would be a movie. That would be a movie that it's easy to come up with new circumstances for that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sequel, by the way, was called It Swallows.
Yes.
Available on browsers.
Yeah.
It Swallows. Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to go there. Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see a sequel to both these. I think that'd be pretty cool. It Follows would be a cool sequel. And, I mean, Donnie Darko.
It's an interesting sequel. Yeah. Donnie Darko would be an interesting sequel, too, because don't they all die? Isn't it dead at the end? Like,
yeah, I haven't seen it
is
forever.
Is it just a weird rabbit that comes back?
I haven't watched Donnie Darko in so long.
Donnie Darko's weird. I've only seen it, like, once.
I loved it. Oh, my God. I watched it a few times, but I was... Just not in a place.
It was
really
one of the first. It was one of the first movies that my dad recommended to me, and I was like,
"Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool?" Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three, and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hefe recommended like, Donnie Darko. That's
yeah. He was like, I watched this really weird movie. You'd love
it's
it.
It's really.
And it was
dark.
Like back in like 2001 or what? I don't. That movie's old as fuck.
It's old.
It
I mean, Gyllenhaal was young.
Yeah,
like, really.
He was
young.
Like, you should watch this. And I was like, I can't watch any movie. You want to watch
we
it?
Seen it's
and
old.
I watched it, and oh, he was like, God. I was like, well, that was a really good movie. I was shocked that he watched that and liked it. That's when I was like, oh, see, we all got the same taste.
Well, I was just saying actually today. The you know, when we were in college, it was like 12 years ago. Like, that's insane. And like, we were talking about things we used to watch, like Donnie, like I used to watch Donnie Darko in college. I'm like, how old is that movie? Because that movie was older than when I was a girl. Right, so I was just like, geez, how old is that
you
movie?
You specifically brought up Donnie Darko earlier?
No, we brought up how old we were in college, and I just remember watching that movie when we were in college as like a thing.
Okay, okay.
Like,
I got
the movie
you.
Was old at that point.
Cool.
But it had already been out.
2001.
Wow, yeah, so it's 20 years old.
20 years old.
That's crazy.
That's
damn.
Weird.
Wow, all right, so in on sequels for both. I'm with you. I'd like to see a sequel to both these movies. Fuck it, why
the
fuck
not? They've made sequels for worse movies, so.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? That's it for the news. So all that's left now is to move on to our topic du jour. You guys ready for that?
I'll try some of that.
There's something funny. You smiled a little.
Funny? No. Why? I mean, I just wish you could stay and see my performance. That's all.
All right, so that means we are talking tonight's movie, which is 2015's The Black Coat's Daughter, which, you know, I guess we'll start out with just kind of our overall thoughts on the movie and, you know, go on from there into our usual categories and some other stuff, but... I'll kick this one off here, and then I'll defer to you guys after that. But, you know, this movie, I kind of can't believe this one slipped by me for as long as it did. I mean, I know it was made in 2015, and it was kind of one of those movies that was in my Netflix queue forever, and I just kind of kept it in there. I never really watched it. I saw it got some pretty good reviews, and I saw it was made by or distributed by A24, who are kind of known for, like, their weird, artsy, like, indie horror movies. And so, watched it finally. Kind of loved it. I think I kind of loved this movie. It definitely like kept me thinking for a few days after the fact. It stuck with me a bit, and it was a very interesting story that kind of kept me engaged. And while I will say no spoilers quite yet, you know, the quote unquote twist of the movie I kind of saw coming from a mile away. But with that being said, I don't think necessarily that, you know, the director here was setting out to be like a Night Shyamalan or whatever. But it wasn't too hard to put two and two together with where they were trying to go. But probably my favorite part about the movie was the atmosphere that they tried to build with this, right? Very creepy, very unsettling. I think it owes a lot to The Shining, Psycho, The Exorcist, various other possession-type movies, which I don't think it's really a spoiler to say that this is a possession-type movie because it's in the description and the trailers and all that stuff. But the music was also really good. Very creepy. That kind of reminded me of The Shining a little bit with like the soft, screeching, distorted voices. And I thought all the actors were in awesome form here. Kiernan Shipka as Kat, Emma Roberts as Joan, and Lucy Boynton as Rose. I had to look up what else she was in, but she was in Apostle, and also in Bohemian Rhapsody. I think she played Freddie Mercury's girlfriend.
Apostle is one of my favorite movies.
I know, that was on your list of movies to do this year. But fun fact, she's also been in a relationship with Rami Malek since she was in Bohemian Rhapsody with him. So it's Rami Malek's girlfriend. Yeah, so I really dug this movie a lot. I thought it was pretty cool, and I know we'll get into a lot more about it. But, Kat, what did you think of this? I know it's fresh on your mind.
I actually... I had no idea what it was really going to be about when...
That's the best way to go into this movie, I think, yeah. Not knowing much about it.
I mean, you guys were talking about it, and, like, I know you said you had seen it, and you were like, we should do a podcast about it, and I was like, all right, well, sure, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
As a team player.
Sure.
And I liked it. It was a good movie. I like who I call Sally Draper from yeah. Mad Men.
Yep.
I forget her name.
Who, Emma Roberts? Kiernan Shipka. That's her name. No, so, she was Sally Draper in Mad Men.
Is that Emma Roberts?
Emma Roberts is.
And then Emma Roberts plays.
No, but isn't she Sally Draper in Mad Men? Because that girl's no. way too young.
No, that's the main girl is Sally Draper in Mad Men.
Yeah.
The younger girl, Kiernan Shipka. The one that's Kat. Kat is Sally. The Kat. Actress is Sally really? Draper from Mad Men.
Yeah.
And she plays.
Catherine, and it's. Kat,
yeah.
I was like, I'm going to get a beating on this podcast tonight because they're going to be like, oh, Kat is this blonde girl, and she's like, you know, the girl villain. From Poltergeist that eventually gets into a, you know, all girls yeah, school. You have, and then
I don't know why you were so hung up on that because it never would have come up unless you would have totally been.
You guys would have totally targeted yeah. me, and I was mm-hmm. like.
Yeah, but Kiernan Shipka, she plays the character Kat. She's in Mad Men as Sally Draper, and she's also, she plays Sabrina in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina yeah. on Netflix. That's yeah, the same girl.
Sally Draper? Oh, I didn't yeah. realize
and that. Emma yeah. Roberts has been in a bunch of American Horror Story seasons and
persons,
right. all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I mean, the cast was awesome. I thought it was a great show, movie.
Okay,
yeah.
cool. Andrew, what about you, my friend?
I thought it was fantastic. Very dark. Overtones, good ambience for a horror movie. Like, very just... Every scene felt chilling in yeah. a certain way. Like, it wasn't... It was... There was a few, like... That's what I thought made it was a horror movie, was the death scenes and the kills were so gruesome.
Yeah. yeah.
And so good.
Nasty.
It was so, like, I don't remember seeing a horror movie where the death scenes have made me very uncomfortable watching.
Yeah.
These ones made me very uncomfortable watching. And it's very fitting that the director of this movie, Oz Perkins, is the son of Anthony Perkins, who was in Psycho.
Right.
Yep.
Who played Norman Bates, that he would use so many knives. It was essentially the shower scene, except you see everything.
Yeah, that's why I said it kind of reminded me of Psycho, that the yeah, kills were very...
The kills like, were, like, the one in the shower scene, though, and you don't see anything.
Yeah, well, it,
this is
the,
what
the
it
sounds,
would be like.
Though,
this,
like the sounds
yeah,
it
was
makes,
the same thing, like,
and,
what
yeah.
type of melon were you using?
Right.
Was that a cantaloupe? Whatever. But, no, but it was just, like, for some reason, out of all the ways to kill somebody... Nothing's more intimate or disturbing than stabbing somebody.
Yeah.
Because that one scene where she stabbed that other nurse.
Oh, it was brutal, yeah.
So many times. Yeah. And then she cut, like...
Oof.
That's what made this a horror movie. It was so brutal. It was more a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
If you take out those...
Supernatural.
Four scenes yeah, in yeah. the possession part.
Yeah.
But it was so well done.
Yeah.
Movie slapped. The yeah. acting was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
They carry it. They carry the movie, the three girls,
interesting
three leads.
Thing, though, so I don't know if I'm off point here, though, but it's called The Black Coat's Daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the Black Coat's Daughter?
I would think it was Kat.
Well, no, because I feel like we see two men with black coats on in the entire movie. Bill.
Yep.
The dad. And then when Kat, Kieran, and Shipley's character is walking out to her burned car, she's with a man
wearing a
black
coat. Yeah.
So that is interesting to me, like, how they yeah. tie those both in. Is that the devil? Is
also,
that the demon?
Also the priest wearing black.
Well,
so there's a lot of
but
black.
But the black coat, though, is that the priest bringing her out to the accident, or is that her demon?
I took that as
the demon.
The devil, yeah, or a demon, whatever you want
okay.
to call it, yeah.
But you see two black coats.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of them in here. So, yeah, I agree with all that. This movie was fucking awesome. I wanted to watch it again, which I know you and I watched it the other night, Kat. I was happy to watch it again because I feel like you pick up on a lot more the second time you see it.
That's especially one of those movies.
Yeah.
yeah.
Watch sure. it twice.
Yeah. So, okay. Good stuff. So, I have this movie. This movie premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival in 2015, okay? So, it technically was a 2015 movie. Wasn't released in the U.S. until 2017, which A24 got it, put into theaters. So, we're going with a 2015 movie here because that's when it was made. So, we have done two other 2015 horror movies on this show so far. You guys have any guesses as to what they are?
It Follows?
No, that was
2015,
nope.
right?
Well, 2000... we are 2015. 2015. We've done two other movies.
Oh, this is 2015?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so bad with years. I don't know.
Hold on.
Creep?
Nope.
Krampus?
Krampus is one.
Yeah. Krampus. And?
The Witch.
Yeah, I would have never guessed that.
2015. Yep.
Does he feel 6 years old?
Yeah. So we've covered the 2015 horror movies in a couple other episodes, but just as a refresher, here's some of the other ones that came out that year. You don't have to go in detail or anything. I'm just giving you the names: Crimson Peak, which is a Del Toro movie; The Gift, which is with Jason Bateman and Joel Edgerton. That's great, a really good movie. The Goosebumps movie with Jack Black, which I thought was pretty good. Insidious Chapter 3, which was the one with...
I think we probably saw.
We've seen them all. That was the one with Dermot Mulroney and his daughter. That was okay. The Invitation, which is a phenomenal movie, I think.
Is that a made-up name?
Dermot Mulroney?
No, it's a person.
That's who the... Yeah. You know, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm like, I don't know who he's
He's a real actor person. Yeah.
Did he fight Conor McGregor?
Dermot Mulroney, yeah. The Invitation, phenomenal movie. I know that's on your list of movies for this year, so I'm sure we'll get to that in more detail at some point. Krampus, which we already mentioned. Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension. The Poltergeist remake with Sam Rockwell. Yuck, that movie was terrible.
And I like Sam Rockwell.
Yeah,
that's
an awful movie. Don't remake Poltergeist. Sinister 2, which I never saw. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was meh. It was too much detective douchebag or whatever his name is. I don't remember.
Stung, which is a schlocky bee monster movie where it's a picnic down in South.
Time out.
Yeah.
Was that a dad joke in there? You said a bee movie?
Oh, actually, well, I didn't even do that on purpose, but yeah, it's a movie about giant bees that start stinging people.
I figured because it was called Stung, I was like, bee movie.
Yep. And The Visit, which is an M. Night Shyamalan movie, the found footage one with the two grandkids that go visit their grandparents, but they're not really their grandparents. Did you guys see that one?
I did.
You
watched that. That was solid. It was decent.
That was okay.
Pretty good.
Middle of the road.
It was a little dark.
And then The Witch. Yeah, so some pretty good horror movies that came out in 2015. Before we get into our quick facts and categories, just a reminder that today's episode of America's Hometown Horror is brought to you by Fanatics. Fanatics, again, is the world's largest collection of official fan gear from all the leagues, teams, and players you love. If you enjoy America's Hometown Horror and are looking to buy a new jersey, sweatshirt, or hat, you can support us by going to podgo.co, that's podgo.co/fanatics, and get 25% off your next order. That's podgo.co/fanatics. Fanatics, officially licensed everything.
You know what would be kind of cool? Fanatics decided they wanted to make us like a three-quarter length
baseball team. I knew you were going to go there. I had a feeling.
If they wanted to do that, we would be willing to allow them to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up to them.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Hey, Fanatics, send them some baseball tees with our logo on there. That'd be sweet.
I'll wear them everywhere.
Yeah. Hey, so a couple quick facts about The Black Coat's Daughter. Some of these we kind of already touched on, but I'll just run through them quick. So this movie was initially titled February. That was the initial title for the movie.
That's what Andrew just said, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was basically just the movie takes place in February, which... I actually think I like the title The Black Coat's Daughter better. February kind of would have been a weird title. I don't know if it really has anything to do with the month of February.
We probably should have done this podcast in the month of February then.
Well,
I mean,
who knows what month it is?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a January podcast in the month of February.
There's no dates on this podcast. Don't you know that?
What do you mean there's no dates? Coming out like tomorrow.
Well, we're doing a movie that was called February in January, so let's just move on. Let's just skip it. So we already mentioned, Andrew brought it up, that this movie is directed by Osgood Perkins. And if that sounds familiar, it should, because he is indeed the son of Anthony Perkins, who played Norman Bates in Psycho, the first one, and all of the other Psycho movies. He also, after he did The Black Coat's Daughter, went on to direct a couple other horror movies, one called I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House. Which I have never seen.
Never seen that.
I haven't seen it.
One of his movies I do want to see, which is on Amazon Prime.
Gretel and Hansel. Yeah.
Oh, it's got
the girl from It.
For the same girl from It. Dude, she's in everything.
Didn't we see that?
No. But I want to watch it.
Does that girl age?
Dude, she's in like everything. She's in It. She's in Gretel and Hansel. She's in that show I'm Not Okay With This. She's in a bunch of shit.
Yeah. She seems like the next...
She was in a Hulu movie, too, I think, recently, so... But yeah, so I Am the Pretty Little Thing That Lives in the House and Gretel and Hansel, both other Osgood Perkins movies that you can check out. Gretel and Hansel is on my list for sure. And as I mentioned, this was released by A24, which we talked about, but they're notorious for the indie arthouse horror movies like The Witch, Hereditary, and The Lighthouse. Monkey Pump.
Did you know too that he played young Norman Bates?
Oh yeah, that's right. In one of the Psycho movies,
in Psycho 2.
I forgot about
he
that.
He played young Norman Bates.
Yes, oh. Oz Perkins. Yeah.
Interesting. And his brother cool. Elvis Perkins.
Well,
if
you Google a picture of this guy, he looks just like his dad. Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Wow.
Just like him.
Don't forget Elvis.
Yeah. I have to Google.
Exactly. Elvis Perkins. He's coming up. So this movie was shot in Ontario in 2015, so it must have been cold. And actually, Emma Roberts came out after the fact, I think it's on like the DVD bonus features, and said that the week that they filmed all of her outdoor scenes, it was the coldest winter, coldest temperatures on record for Ontario ever.
Wow.
So they're outside freezing their balls off, making the Black Coat's Daughter in Canada. I think that, you know, filming it there definitely kind of gave it that lived-in cold, desolate feel,
chilling,
lots of snow.
Feel.
Like, you kind of feel the cold in your bones. Yeah. Like, kind of like you could, like, again, with The Shining,
dude,
right?
Well, so, dude, that sense of isolation. We live in New England. It's not even that bad. When it's gray out for 7 days in a row,
yeah,
you're already depressed.
But when you also
have... So if you're living in a climate where it's gray 6 months out of the year,
yeah.
You're always going to be depressed.
When you're recording in a climate that's real, like that's how you're supposed to be feeling, it's much easier to act the way you're supposed to act because you're living in those conditions.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
Nailed it.
We've done a lot of cold, snowy movies over the last couple of months. 30 Days at Night.
I was going to say, it hasn't been that snowy here, but let's knock on some wood.
I know, we got a
little
snow yesterday, but not too much, thankfully. Okay, where were we? Oh, okay, so the school that the girls go to is called the Bramford School or the Bramford Academy or whatever. So if you are familiar with horror trivia, you may have picked up on the fact that this is the same name of the apartment building that the characters live in Rosemary's Baby.
Yep.
Oh.
The Bramford.
I didn't, but that's a cool
fact. I had that
fact.
In my notes, too. Yeah. I'm glad I'm on the same page as Bill.
Wow.
See, I'm paying
attention now.
Good
you
stuff.
Guys.
So, cool little nod to Rosemary's Baby there. Obviously, this movie involves Satan or the devil or demons.
Well, yes.
Rosemary's Baby involves a lot of similar themes. Obviously, that one is kind of about giving birth to the spawn of Satan, but this is a little different than that. So, all right, that's it for facts. Some analysis in this movie that I kind of thought of while I was watching it for the second time, okay? A couple of things that you can kind of pick up on, right? So I think that the big theme that runs through this, especially as it relates to the character of Kat, right? The main, essentially the main girl, the villain, whatever you want to call her. I feel like the whole reason that she kind of broke bad and turned to Satan here is she felt abandoned by God. So you never really truly find out what happens to her parents, but it's, you know, implied and clear that she's on her own. There was some sort of terrible accident that befell her parents, a car accident, and they're both dead. They never show up. You never find out. It's left ambiguous, which I think adds to the mystery of the movie a little bit.
Yep.
But the scene at the beginning of the movie where she sits down in the priest's office and she's talking to him, and she seems visibly bothered by the fact that he is not going to make it to her recital to see her perform that song. That's kind of, I thought that was like a metaphor for being abandoned by God, because the priest is leaving, and then she's at this school by herself, and she's susceptible to let the devil into her.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Life, which is essentially, you know, what happens.
That's pretty deep. I don't know I don't know if I thought it that way.
Yeah.
Like, would you have thought that the devil, like, or demon, we'll say, like, had already possessed her at that point and was saying that already to him?
Could have been. It was ambiguous for sure, but I thought it was, I took it as the first time that she was kind of seduced to the dark side, for lack of a better term, was when she answered the phone, or she went to go try and call her parents, and the devil was on the other line, and he said some pretty nasty stuff to her.
That's a good point, too.
But, so by the way, so her performance, where she's singing that song was written by the aforementioned Elvis Perkins, who is Osgood Perkins' brother. Also son of Anthony Perkins, who is a musician, and he wrote that song specifically for...
Well, he did the whole soundtrack.
Yeah, he did the whole soundtrack, so he wrote that song specifically for...
Which is why it also has very psycho tones to it.
Very, very strange. Very strange.
Very good.
So yeah, ultimately, you know, Kat gives herself over to Satan, you know, does his bidding, and then at the end, when everything kind of, you know, she's taken into custody, she's in the psychiatric facility, and the priest performs the exorcism on her, she sees Satan or the devil leave her, and she's saying, don't go. She's upset by this because she doesn't have anybody else, so she's lonely. She just wanted someone to be with her, or you know, protect her, or guide her, or whatever.
It's a very sad story.
It is.
It is very sad.
Without the supernatural effects, if this was just a regular story of some girl whose parents died in a terrible car accident, and then she's trying to befriend all these other people there, and essentially nobody cares about her, and she just becomes lonely, and
nobody cares about these girls at all, because the priest leaves. The principal thinks nothing of, like, okay, well, your parents didn't show up, so we're just going to leave you here with the
sisters. I couldn't believe that whole thing. I was like, they're going to just leave her there?
Borderline upset at them.
That's insane.
Yeah, like, what do you mean your parents aren't here? Like,
well,
Jesus,
I'm like, I'm sorry. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
That's your responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. I also thought an interesting part of this movie was that it showed kind of what happens to someone after they've been possessed and then they've had that demon exorcised. You know, you'd think they would kind of like go on to live happily ever after, which is not the case for Kat's character at all, because, you know, she's in a psychiatric facility. She's kind of lost. She's just still trying to, you know, gain Satan's acceptance once again, returns to the site of the school 9 years later. And it's just, it's a very, very sad story. So that's kind of like what I got out of it. And I also thought, like, is she ever actually possessed at any point? Or is she just
she's fully possessed at one
trying
point.
To, you know, get Satan over onto her side. It's ambiguous, but I think she was too. Just a thought. So what about you guys? Anything to add there?
I mean, I pretty much agree with everything you just said.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenally done movie. Like, it's ambiguous and confusing in all the right ways. The other interesting part I find about this, though, is how the dad, Bill, he's Rose's daughter, the girl that got stabbed to death by Kat.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that he sees such a stark resemblance between Joan and Rose when they don't look anything alike.
Yeah, I think
like,
he was
just kinda... Do you mean you have a stark resemblance to the girl that murdered your daughter? Did he ever know what she looked like?
I think he was just trying to, like, the way his wife made it sound was that he constantly tried to find his daughter.
He sat down in the hotel room with her towel on.
That was weird.
And he told her that you remind me of my daughter.
Yeah.
And she looks nothing like your daughter. She looks like the girl that murdered your daughter.
That's a good point.
I find that very interesting.
Yeah.
He has a black coat on.
I thought for sure that was going to go to some weird, like, sexual predator type stuff for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it didn't, but it certainly seemed like they were implying it for a minute, and then they didn't go there.
And then you were kind of like, oh, well, maybe he really thinks that she looks like his daughter. Because you knew that. Like, you were anticipating it to go that direction.
Well, that's one of the things that Osgood Perkins said about this movie that I thought was very telling. Was he said that to make a good horror movie, and he had never really made that many, he said it was the art of restraint.
Yeah.
To make that movie, you have to restrain yourself. You can't show everything. Something should be ambiguous.
Right.
And he did it perfectly.
I thought he had a good balance with this, because you see the shadow that follows Kat's character around... quite, like, enough. You don't see it too much, and you don't. I like how you don't see the details. You just see the shadow and the outline of this creepy with the tall horns. Like, it's really creepy, and I like that. But yeah, you can't show everybody your hand right off the bat. He did a good job of doing both. I thought, yeah. But cool. Anything to add?
No, I liked all your comments.
Okay.
I liked it.
Sweet. All right, so that means we're on to our categories, which. You all know where we're going from here, so I'll ask you first. Did you find this movie to be scary, Catherine? I'll start with you.
Yes, absolutely. Because she turns from, like, I mean, it's something you kind of fear when you're, like, a younger person, I guess. Like, when if I was watching this not as me, but as, like, a younger person, I would fear
a younger version of yourself?
Yes, a younger version of myself. Mm-hmm. I would, I mean, why wouldn't you think that could possibly happen? I mean, anything's possible, but...
Thanks, Kevin.
Like, yeah.
Garnett.
Like demons and this. I mean, like, you never really know. Like, those are kind of the unknown factors that, yeah. Like, maybe they're real, maybe they're not. But, yeah, I thought it was kind of a scary movie. Yeah.
I know absolutely. What you're saying there, because I feel like of the type of like, the supernatural stuff, possession, demonic type stuff feels like it could be the most real.
Oh, absolutely.
Because... You know, I feel like most people think that there's a god, and therefore there would have to be a devil, so...
Well, and not even if it was in a sense of,
not
like...
Not most, maybe some.
Heaven, god, hell, whatever. God, Satan, whatever, but there's, like, in mental health, even, you know? Like, things can happen with people's mental health, like, at any point in time, and, like, trigger things. Like, that can even be the same kind of thing, so it's just, like, very... That's in kind of in the same sense, you cool. know? It kind of coincides with that.
All right. Andrew, is The Black Coat's Daughter a scary movie?
In that aspect, yes, it is, because I find demons and ghosts and whatever kind of spooky shit you want to talk about to be far more scary than your general monster.
Slasher.
Because that's something that I've witnessed. I've seen some things in my own personal life that have made me scared of that. I find it a lot more realistic.
Yeah.
Even though people might go, that could never happen.
Well, you don't know that, though. Yeah, you
I've
don't
seen
that.
What I've seen, so I know.
Yeah,
what
that's
I know,
Andrew's
so
experience.
That scares me personally more. Do I ever think that they ever get to that extent? Probably not. I mean, there's maybe one in a million of those. Like, if that's if let's say possession is an actual thing, and someone goes on to murder people based off of their possession,
mm-hmm.
what are the odds of that actually happening to you?
Yeah,
very slim.
Right.
So that level of scaredness. Isn't there, but it's still it's just a very unsettling movie. It makes you feel very uncomfortable the entire
time. That's what
time.
I, yeah, off-putting,
I'm super
unsettling,
uncomfortable
yeah.
that
creepy.
And to me, that's what makes a great horror movie, is a movie that makes me super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't want to be comfortable at any point in time when I'm watching a horror movie. I want to feel like I want to walk out of the theater, but I don't. Because that's what gets you on edge. A horror movie doesn't have to be horrifying, it just has to put you on edge. Put me on a level where I don't want to let my guard down. Like, I'm... There's something's going to happen at some point. And doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter how it happens, but they do it in a way that it's scary. That's what makes a movie scary.
Mm. Yeah. I agree with
that.
If
it's unsettling and unnerving to me.
And you know what? It makes it even more scary. Think about probably in the news a few times a year, a few times a month, there's some sort of massacre like this where, like in real life, so somebody killing a bunch of people, like that could actually happen. But whether or not there's
absolutely.
Satanic involvement or not. So I think that aspect of it, that's definitely scary. But this is, yeah, like you said, Andrew, very unsettling, a lot of tension, very creepy movie. I don't know if I would. So yeah, I think it's scary as well.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
You read a story, couple murdered in their car.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird.
Andrew, did you have a favorite scene?
Well, I feel like if you're going to go favorite scene in this movie...
Tough to call
you
one.
Gotta go
one
with,
favorite,
you gotta go with one of the deaths.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, my favorite scene is probably when she's murdering the two nuns.
Yeah, that was fucked.
That was, like, the stabbing on the second one was so incessant.
Yeah, brutal. Not even, like,
so
fun
brutal.
Like fun movie
it's
violence
none
to
of
watch.
It's fun.
Like, just nasty.
That's why I love that scene so much, because that was... I feel like that was the first scene in the movie where I actually went...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, this is where this movie's getting to a whole nother level, because after that it just got more brutal and more brutal, because there was neck cutting and head. It was they left the camera on the knife way too long.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable.
Right.
That's what I was saying
to,
when I said
yeah,
it was the
it was
opposite of
to...
Psycho. Like Psycho
yeah.
hid the actual stabbing. This was like here. Guess what?
Yeah.
Right.
Stab, 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 stab.
You know what was scary? Kat's face right before she stabs those nuns. Like, when she's sitting there and she just, like, you can tell they did her makeup a little bit different, her face a little bit red. She's kind of got like the bags under her eyes, the bloodshot eyes
terrifying.
A little bit. She looks like a crazed person, which I thought was good. But yeah, good. Obviously, like a very pivotal part of the movie. Tough to watch, but definitely a good scene for sure. One that left you feeling a little creeped out. I really like the parts when you see the shadow of Satan or the entity talking to Kat. I thought that was pretty cool. And also, you know, the phone calls from that same entity as well that she talked from the phone. Very creepy, very
kind of reminded me of Mothman.
Yes, yes. I'm glad you brought that up because it reminded me of that as well, and I would have forgotten. But yeah, Mothman Prophecies is not a fantastic movie, but
you
that
know
particular
though?
Scene
no,
is
no, that's
wait,
not
wait,
a bad
wait,
scene.
Wait,
is scary.
I still haven't seen it.
We're not going to go into like huge depth. But there's a scene in Mothman Prophecies that was similar to a scene in this movie that was pretty scary.
Shoes.
Go ahead.
We didn't do my favorite scene.
We're going to get to you. What was yours?
Is it my turn now?
Well, yeah, you went to go tend to Otis, so I just said mine were. But yeah, we can go to you now. Yeah.
So I actually really liked the scene where Joan goes and slits the throats of Bill and Bill's wife.
The
because
parents.
I think that was like kind of the affirmation
of
she's still a mess.
Completing
like,
the cycle of violence.
This is still a problem, and like
this is still a very large problem.
So, and like to the point where she's like, I don't even know. They didn't even explain like how she changed her name or like any of that. Like, there's still so many things, so many factors, like that are unanswered that I could easily see a sequel for this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easily.
Well, we're going to talk sequels in a little bit.
Well, I wonder
bit,
if this movie went out to set out the fact that it, again, brings up the reiteration, don't pick up hitchhikers.
yeah, exactly.
Just don't do it.
No.
It's
and
a bad
like,
idea. You're either going to get murdered by them, or they're going to eat you, or they're going to do something
well,
terrible.
And even we were just watching It's the End of the Fucking World, and like, that's the same motto. Don't pick up hitchhikers.
And
like,
don't hitchhike.
Don't hitchhike. Like, both the same thing. Like, anything on the side of the road, just drive right by. Unless it's someone who maybe seems, I mean, it would have to be a really
what would it? What
scene.
Would it? What type of situation would you have to be in for it to take you to try to hitchhike?
Oh no!
How bad of a situation would you have to be in without any other option?
If I had to walk more than 30 miles,
absolutely.
Okay.
How long would that take?
Over a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way too long. I'll take my chances.
Yeah. All right. So we usually talk about if we would replace anybody in the cast, and I would say no to this because I thought everyone was great, particularly Kiernan Shipka as Kat. She just looks insane as she starts to like descend into her possession. Like, she keeps telling Rose that she smells pretty. Like, just she's creepy, but she's fantastic. But they're all good. Emma Roberts is great, and Lucy Boynton as Rose is very good as well.
I would say Emma Roberts is better.
Yeah,
because when she has those random laughing fits,
that was creepy.
Kills it. Her laughing.
She goes
is
in the
most uncomfortable part of everything. I'm
like,
oh god, I can't watch this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah,
it's so good. She does a great job.
Yeah. You have any issues with this movie? You have any bones to pick with the Blackcoat's daughter?
I have no bones to pick with this movie.
The only thing I had, not even really nitpicks, because I feel like it's kind of grasping at straws here, but so did, like, I'd like to know a little bit, I know it was ambiguous, but I'd like to know a little bit more about the lore of the school, right? So, did Rose make up that story about the sisters being walked in on while they were worshiping Satan, or did that actually happen? Was that just
that
one
was
of those urban
that
legends that
on.
They told at the school? Like, I thought that could have been explored a little bit. That would have been cool. And then, yeah, dude, obviously, Bill, why are you picking up hitchhikers, dude? Like, why your wife's yelling at you, telling you no, like, it's fucking...
You know why? Because he's the dark passenger.
Yeah.
From Dexter.
He almost reminded me of, like, the dad from Seventh Heaven.
He's the dad from Dexter. Do you ever seen
you
Dexter?
You watched Dexter. I didn't watch Dexter. You did.
Wait, is that
that's
the same
Dexter
guy?
Dexter Morgan's dad.
The guy from Seventh Heaven.
Bill, no, not from Seventh Heaven, from Dexter.
No, the character, the Bill character from
Bill
Blackcoat's daughter.
Is
oh, he's
Dexter's
dad.
Yeah.
That's why he looks familiar.
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh my god, he's only been in every episode for the entire 12 seasons. Seven, whatever fucking season it was.
We should watch it again.
We're going to watch it again.
Yeah, why don't we watch it with Mike? We should make like a date.
Well, Mike's never seen it.
We can do that.
So
right.
That's
and
why
like,
he didn't know
what
I was talking about. You have no excuse.
I do have no excuse. I think
true.
I can even watch it twice maybe by now.
All right. So for deaths in this movie, so there's a total of 9 deaths in this movie. Andrew, I know you said that Kat killing the sisters was yours. That was your favorite scene in the movie, and pretty horrible death scenes for both those characters. But the nine characters that eat it in this movie: Rose's unborn baby, yikes.
Yeah.
Rose's parents, Linda and Bill, there's four. Ms. Prescott, five. Ms. Drake, they're the two sisters. Kat's parents, so there's eight, who they die off-screen, by the way. And then Joan Marsh, off-screen as well. That is the character that Kat assumes her identity when she becomes older with Emma Roberts. Killed.
So those are your nine deaths.
Never shown.
So that's the dumbest off-screen list I've ever heard.
Okay.
We want to talk about deaths I've seen.
I'm just saying those are the options.
Can I change my favorite scene to that being my favorite death?
Yeah, that's what I said. You added it, so I figured it was your favorite death if it was your favorite scene.
Yeah, but no, yeah. My favorite scene is different now that I think about it.
Okay, so what's your favorite scene now?
Well, I don't want to steal yours.
No, I don't care. Go ahead.
The odds are, if I steal your favorite scene in this movie right now, don't yell at me. If I steal your favorite scene in this movie, then I know it's Kismet, Mike, and we just need to get it over with.
Okay.
Just do it.
So I thought the best death in the movie, because it kind of made the movie come full circle and kind of showed how mad Kat/Joan had gone over the years, was when she killed Rose's parents, Bill and what's her name. So I guess those were the quote unquote best death. No, those were, no, I already said.
We're in best death now. Jesus, that's a good death.
Yeah, so those were good ones.
But okay, yeah. So my favorite scene is different than my best death. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay, gotcha.
Best scene in the movie is when Kat is sitting in front of the furnace with the heads next to her.
Yeah.
And the cop comes busting in.
Yeah, that was fucked. I forgot about that part.
That scene's so fucking... She goes... Yeah. Yeah. She, like, fucking screams.
Hail Satan. Hail Satan. All right, so we're getting down to the end here, so a couple categories left before we wrap things up.
Missed your chance.
Talk about haunted attractions. I don't particularly think that this movie would work well as a haunted house, but, you know, I've been wrong before. Halloween Horror Nights turned.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18
plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
The Shining into a haunted house, which I never thought would have been possible. These types of, you know, cerebral, ambiguous type horror movies that don't have a lot of jump scares don't necessarily translate, Jesus, if I can only talk, to live experiences very well.
You need four areas. So if you could do this movie, you do it at the boarding house. Mm-hmm. Maybe one's at a gas station.
A car wreck with Kat's parents, maybe.
And then, like, it has to be four different scenes. But those scenes are big enough where you could.
You would just need enough scenes and enough characters to be able to scare you walking through a haunted house.
But how would this scare you? Would you get stabbed in the back? That would be terrifying.
No, like if you're walking through a haunted house, like at Spooky World or at Barrett's Haunted Mansion, that type of thing.
Yeah, but I would want someone to come out with a knife and be like,
you would want to be stabbed, you're saying.
With a fake knife.
Yes.
That would be
an essential component of a haunted house based in this would be people would with be knives.
Yeah, there better be knives.
Yeah, for sure. Kat, what about you? Any thoughts?
I think it'd make a great haunted attraction.
Oh, you think it would?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Why? Because, I mean, I feel like it has all the components of, like, you know, you're in a diner, you're scary, like, the stranger thing, like, I mean, all the different scenes, like, you could easily, like, kind of recreate them, and, like...
And have people jump out at you, have, like, the demon jump out at you, have the Kat's character jumping out at you with a knife.
Okay. Kind of, and, like, have, like, that, the black coat kind of shadow, like, every now and then come by, like,
yeah,
I mean,
you could do that,
like,
you could do that.
It's all very manageable.
Yeah.
But it's never been a...
The black coat shadow doesn't have anything to do with the movie.
What do you mean it doesn't have anything to do with the movie?
Like the shadow that follows Kat around, like the it's demon. That's the shadow you're talking about.
It's not a black coat.
That's what the black coat is. It's a devil.
Maybe. I mean, it's got horns. It looks more like fucking the...
It's the devil. It's the black coat. Like the, that's what
it looks
is.
More like the bunny from Donnie Darko. That's not the black coat's daughter. The black coat's daughter is Bill's daughter. He's wearing the black coat the whole time. And daughter was murdered
no.
by them.
No,
the black coat's daughter is Kat because... That scene at the beginning where she sees the car crash with her dead parents in it, and she's being guided by a guy in a black coat. That's the black coat's daughter. I thought. I mean, I guess it's open for interpretation. So.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. Do you look at it from the victim's point of view or from the murderer's point
of view? That's a good point, too. Because once you think about the fact that Kat really doesn't have anybody, Kat's character doesn't really have anybody, she's just trying to find someone to, like, you know, make her less lonely.
And the guy, Bill, was wearing a black coat, right? Am I missing that?
No, he was wearing a black coat.
And his daughter was murdered. So maybe it's his daughter.
It could be. I think you could make the argument for either.
I didn't think it was a literal black coat. I thought that it was the devil, like, shadow.
You think
is
you're
the black
right, but how do we know you're right?
I don't know.
We don't. Who told you? Did you talk to Oz?
Osgood Perkins. I did not talk to Oz. But,
Dr. Oz.
Dr.
Oz.
I did not talk to Osgood Perkins. What were you saying?
Fuck you,
wait,
Michael.
No, but...
I don't like any of this.
I didn't know any of these, like, black coat people in the movie. Like, I always thought it was just gonna be...
Very racist. You shouldn't say that.
People with black coats on is what you're saying, right? Like they're wearing black coats.
Lots of people actually wearing black coats.
That's not racist. They're wearing black coats.
No, but it's a thing. People are wearing black coats. You didn't realize that?
No, they.
What the fuck? What do we call the black coat's daughter then? That's my point of view.
No,
you want to say it's the demon?
It was,
I'm saying it's Bill.
I think it's a demon. It's the black coat is the demon.
It's
that's
not Black
Philip,
it's Black Coat.
Yeah, the black coat himself is Satan, the demon, whatever you want to call it.
People wearing
the
black
daughter,
coats.
The Black Coat's daughter, I think, is Kat. Andrew is saying he thinks it's Rose because her dad was wearing a black coat.
And she got murdered.
But... I don't know. I guess I could see what you. I mean, it
depends on what you want to name a movie after. Do if you're going to name it. So you have Silence of the Lambs. There's no lambs, but there is silence before someone gets murdered five times. No, I'm making this up. No, but seriously, it could be interpreted either way. Is Jodie Foster the lamb or the tiger killing the lamb? Or is Anthony Hopkins the tiger?
I forget where they get the title of Silence of the Lambs from. I think
it's becomes
from,
the
it's from,
screaming of lambs.
Or a
no, it's
song
Clarice,
lyric or something
Clarice
like that.
Clarice lives on her uncle's farm. And they slaughter lambs there. And it's
no,
called the...
Andrew,
no,
that's not true.
100% it's true. He nails it. In the background, Anthony Hopkins nails it. Tells her, and he goes, "What were you like molested by your uncle?" She goes, "No, he was a good man." But
no, you are correct. Yep, you're absolutely correct. Refers to Clarice Starling's traumatic childhood memory of witnessing lambs screaming as they were about to be slaughtered. Okay, I stand corrected. Good work, Andrew. Good work.
Don't question
me on any
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence
no, you
of
love
lambs
Silence of the Lambs. All right, Kat, I will start with you. Who was your MVP of the movie?
I'm going to say whatever Sally is her name.
Kat.
Your name. Which is my name.
Yes.
I know, I forget. She's always Sally Draper for
Sally
me.
Sally Draper, yeah.
I watched way too
or
much
Or Sabrina
Batman.
The Teenage Witch.
No, absolutely. She's always Sally Draper.
I agree
but
with you.
Yeah. She was amazing. She was really, really good in the movie. I loved her character from beginning to end, from, like, her little evolution and, like, her little, you know, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I had hers mine too. She was a great character. She kind of carried the movie, I think. And she was my favorite part of the movie because she was a crazy, crazy person, which I loved. Who's your MVP, Andrew? Who's your favorite?
Joan?
Okay.
Like I said, those laughing scenes with her.
Yeah, good
she
stuff.
She plays a great psychopath.
Good stuff.
She does
sure.
a really good job.
Yeah, the laughing fits, those were creepy as fuck. And then, yeah, when she kills Rose's parents, that was fucked up too. And just, it's, you know. Ultimately, she is where the story ends because that's the older version of Kat, and it's just kind of sad to see like her try and gain Satan's acceptance again. He says, "No fucking way," and then she's just kind of standing.
Could they
in the
have done
of
a better
road,
job
like,
of taking two actresses that
They really look alike.
They nailed it.
They nailed that part of it. Which is, I feel like they almost did too good of a job with that, because that's why I kind of almost, like, I picked up on that. Like, they had the same type of hair with, like, the dark roots with the bleach blonde, and it was...
But it was almost...
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. I thought something was up there from the get-go, just in my personal opinion. But, yeah.
But they never disclosed the age discrepancy at any point. Or did they with the license?
They said...
No, because how long ago did their daughter die?
9 years. She was 9 years prior. Yeah.
Yeah, but they said...
She was a freshman there. Yeah. So you could
Kat was a freshman and Rose was either a senior or a junior, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know, it must have been probably 4 year age difference. So, all right, cool. Would you guys be interested in seeing a sequel to The Black Coat's Daughter?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too.
No.
No? I think it's
why
good as it is?
Why ruin it?
Because you still have more.
It all gets ruined every time you go on. What's going to happen next?
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
I'll be clear. I don't think we're ever getting a sequel to this movie. We're just talking. We're spitballing here. Talking hypothetical.
No need for a sequel.
Yeah.
It was a good standalone movie. Don't ruin it.
I agree with you there. I could see both because there's definitely more stories to be told.
If they had a sequel, I would see it. But and I think they could have a sequel. I mean, I don't think it's out of the question.
They could. Sequels are never as good. I'm with Andrew. I don't think everything needs a sequel. I would like to see them tarnish fewer movies by making sequels.
There's only one Black Crappy Coat's Daughter. Sequels. There's not two.
Yeah.
Leave it at one.
Well, you know, Kat / Joan is very much alive at the end of the movie, so it could just be her continuing on in madness, trying to figure out what the fuck she wants
to
do.
That would do
herself.
Better on its own as a separate story that has nothing to do with that, because that's just like... I don't know. It just doesn't do it. Like, sometimes
well,
just
the
leave
sequel
it there.
Would be where Joan ended up, like...
Yeah, and that's great, but that's like a fan fiction. Let a fan write that and be like, oh, here's a fan fiction.
Well, we're fans spitballing ideas for a potential sequel right now. Sure. Because we're doing that.
I mean, I get that, but that's why I'm like, I don't need to see that.
Okay.
One story. That's all you need. Just leave it at one.
Okay.
I
can see both sides of the coin.
I'm so sick of sequels.
You know, to play.
The first one's better. The second
France
one's
France here. I'm on the fence. I could go either way. But I would maybe lean a little bit more in Andrew's direction. I don't think it needs one, but I would watch one. Anything further on The Black Coat's Daughter, you guys, before we wrap it on up?
I really appreciate you guys not making fun of me by being Kat and being the blonde person.
If you hadn't brought it up,
of all the things to make fun of you about,
I'll
tell you a secret.
I was the girl from Psycho, or not? It wasn't Psycho. It was
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist. Oh my gosh, Poltergeist.
She was a little blonde girl. We were having fun saying you're also a blonde girl, so that's you, obviously. Which is not you, clearly, but. Secret, I can tell you.
Yeah.
There are lots of other people in the world that have the name Kat that's spelled K-A-T.
That's great.
Can we talk about this girl's name, though, real quick? Kieran Shipka?
Kiernan Shipka. Yeah, interesting name.
Kiernan Shipka.
Shipka.
It's got a nice... It's like Art Vandelay.
Art Vandelay.
Or H.E. Pennypacker.
My name's Art Vandelay. I'm an architect. A.G. Pennypacker.
What do
wealthy
I do?
Industrials.
I'm in latex sales.
Latex sales.
Why do I want to hire you to sell latex?
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of America's Hometown Horror on The Black Coat's Daughter. We hope you guys enjoyed. If you want some more of us, because God knows who wouldn't, here's where you can find us on the following social media platforms, including YouTube and Facebook. Just go on there, search for America's Hometown Horror. We'll be the first thing that pops up. You can see our posts. You can watch our episodes on YouTube. You can also tweet at us, at Hometown Horror. You can find us on Instagram, at Hometown Horror Pod. You can also email us at hometownhorrorpodcast@gmail.com, and you can find our show pretty much anywhere you find podcasts, but specifically Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spreaker, and wherever else you may get your shows. My name is Mike. Thanks again for listening to another episode of America's Hometown Horror, and I have been joined by my esteemed co-hosts, Andrew and Kat. Thanks again, guys. Say goodbye to your listeners.
Adios, muchachos.
See you in hell.
That's
Hey everyone, it's Mike from America's Hometown Horror, and just wanted to say thank you again for listening to another episode of our show, because of course we would be nothing without you listeners. If you are interested in more local Plymouth podcasts, I would highly recommend you check out some shows by our cohorts on the InebriArt Podcast Network. That's right, the InebriArt Podcast Network, folks. In addition to America's Hometown Horror, you can find the InebriArt Podcast, Bar Talk, Theme Park Legends, Retro Redoctopus, and Old Colony Cast. Head on over and give them a listen.